Today we have with us on Castle Country Focus, Colleen Lovelace. She has an interesting story to tell about Loveless Ash and Dustless Industries. Thank you for taking the time and being with us today, Colleen.
Well, thank you, Glenn. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to talk to you on the phone. I'm kind of excited to tell our story. It's probably not a totally unique story, and I'm sure there's going to be people that, as I tell what's happened to us over the last few years, that they're going to say, oh, that's happened to me too.
What kinds of things have happened to you after, now you've been in business for 28 years, is that right?
That's right. We started our business in 1988, but we actually started 4 years earlier than that. And what happened is we've always had wood-burning stove. In our home, I loved the heat, but I didn't like the dust that it created. I started noticing that I would get a film of dust on my furniture, on my floor, on my walls, and I didn't like that, and so I complained to my husband, Mike Lovelace. So he started thinking. Now, Mike was a diesel mechanic for the power company. He was used to working with his hands. He was used to figuring out problems. He decided that if we put a fireproof filter, a fireproof hose, and a vacuum source together, that we'd be able to take the ashes out of our wood stove and fireplace. In the beginning, we developed a very large 55-gallon drum that went outside, had a vacuum on top of it, and then all of the hoses went through a dryer vent in the house. We had it right next to our wood stove so that we could clean it out whenever we wanted to. So we did that for 4 years. My mother-in-law said, well, I want one. And Mike said, well, Mom, I'm not a vacuum cleaner salesman. He thought about it. He decided that he could make it a smaller version. So he actually made about a 35-gallon version for her, and then he changed it to a 16-gallon. Then she calls up and says, I love it, but I've got two friends that want one. And Mike says, Mom, I'm not in this for a business. I just did it for me. And she said, well, there are other people that need this product. I've got two more sold. So Mike and I kind of discussed it and decided that let's see if we can make a business out of this. Let's see if we can sell some. So we actually, our first foray into trying to see if it was something that would sell, we went to the Emory County Fair. Now, that's kind of intimidating because you're going to a fair where you're going to be visiting with people that you know. That was kind of scary. But Mike was very good at making things happen. Our very first ash vacuum was an attachment to a vacuum. We took it to the county fair, and it was a 16-gallon model. The funny thing that happened at this fair was that no one laughed us out of it. They actually thought it was a good idea. But we had a fellow come through, and he was from Salt Lake Valley, and he looked at it, and he said, this product that you're selling today is not the product that you're going to make your money on. It kind of took us back. And Mike says, you know, that's almost like saying that your baby's ugly. So we thought about it and thought about it. And as time went on, the fellow was exactly right. The unit that we started out with was good, but it wasn't the one that actually got us to where we could make money as a company. So we sold 27 units our first year, which was 1988. Then we motorized our ash vacuum in 1990 because people kept saying, I like this, but I don't want to use my vacuum in order to make it run. And so Mike figured it out, designed it, made it to where our ash vac was motorized. So then we started selling it. But the problem that you run into when you start a new company, you're very undercapitalized, which means you have no money. And it was a good thing that Michael is a good mechanic. He had a good job. He brought home a good wage. We actually lived on half of his wage while we were trying to grow the company. In actuality, I didn't even get a paycheck for 10 years.
That's not uncommon in a lot of businesses.
But, you know, many people are very antsy. they want to make sure that they're getting paid because they have such a good idea. But the thing they don't realize is you have to pay the price for that idea.
Pay the price. What do you mean by that?
Okay, so pay the price. You are trying to get product out the door, but you're so small, the parts that you purchase are very expensive in comparison to a company that can buy many more. So maybe we would buy 100 of something, but we're not going to get the same price as someone that can buy 10,000. So for us, making our products was very expensive.
The actual buy the materials to the motors and stuff for the vacuum itself. Okay.
And when you buy smaller quantities, then you have higher costs with freight, and plus a lot of times you have to pay up front, where once you're more established, you can get terms and pay in 30 days. But you have to grow to the point where you can do that. Now, we were recognized in the state of Utah as one of the fastest 100 growing companies in Utah for 3 years straight. And during that 3-year period, we ended up with about a 1,500% growth rate, which is very easy when you're making nothing. You know, that's very hard when you're a bigger company. But every penny that you make goes back into buying more product. So you're always broke. I remember going to you, DeLynn. You were a bank manager here in town. And we were basically offering our firstborn so that we could get a loan.
And that baby was ugly, so we didn't take that.
That's right. You said, no, I better have some other collateral.
But yep. But you, the main point is you didn't get yourself paid because you have to pay everybody else. For 10 years, you had to pay everybody else before you ever got anything out of it.
Now, Mike got a paycheck after 8 years. So basically his
bias here? I mean, weren't you keeping the books, Colleen?
Yes. So Mike did all of research and development, product development. You know, he was the person that made it happen. Now I was the person that handled all the books, told him how much money he had to spend. We worked together very, very well because we didn't cross over on our responsibilities. And whenever we went to bat and had knockdown, drag out fights, that was usually over pricing because I wanted to make a profit so that we could stay in business. And he wanted to give everything away because he wanted to be nice to people. So we had to compromise. We had to come up with a good system that made it work for both of us. Get a product out there that was really good. Now, I had a neighbor that said, Colleen, you don't do anyone a favor by going out of business because your product is not priced correctly so that you can make a profit. So you don't want to make a killing. You just want to make a profit.
And a reasonable profit to feed the horse that you're riding.
Because basically Mike's job floated the company for 8 years, and then we started taking a modest wage out for Mike, and then it was 2 more years before I started taking a wage out. Yeah, even then, you have to make sure that all of your employees are paid. So we started out with one employee, and we employed students from the college and local people. You have to make sure that your employees are paid, and your paycheck comes last a lot of times.
So you're the last one to get paid in the chain of business.
Yep.
Well, Colleen, I want to thank you for taking the time to visit with us on Castle Country Focus to tell your story, the success that you've had, and maybe others would be able to emulate you as well. We will visit with Colleen another day about how her company has grown, and the things that she has learned along the way. Till then, this is DeLynn Fielding, your host.